Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959, and time to take a look at some of the biggest deals that have made headlines so far this year. Many of us might be very familiar with the yellow machinery on the side of the roads, typically underground as well in mines, that is typically labeled as Caterpillar. Now that is part of the license agreement that Barlow World does have as a significant industrials company. Outside of that, it also has interests in Ingrain, which typically helps us as consumers have the very basic ingredients that then are sold off to FMCGs to produce sweets, treats and other meals that many of us would be familiar with. But as we know, Barlow World has been facing a potential takeover and a buyout, essentially regarding a base, an investment company based in Saudi Arabia and with involvement from the local CEO and partners from the local South African environment. To tell us more about the deal so far, where it is and particular clauses that have proven to come at a cost, Andrew Balmain, Chief Executive for Corporate and Advisory Deal Leaders International, joins us now for more. Andrew, such a pleasure to have you with us and thank you for making time, sir.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
Fantastic. I think first things first, let's maybe add some context and color to this particular deal. Because when it was announced back in 2024, it was met with a significant level of surprise from market participants, largely because of the involvement of the current group CEO, Dominic Sewela. Maybe let's just touch on the genesis of this particular deal before we get to where we are now.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, it's been a very interesting journey. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I think, you know, we often see transactions like this where a large South African conglomerate is approached by an international acquirer or bidder. But what did, I'm going to say, muddy the water a little bit was the potential inadvertent commas conflict of interest where you have the now CEO being involved in a consortium in partnership with, in this case, the Gulf acquirer. To take over the business. So I think, you know, there's always that question mark around, you know, conflict of interest. What is the right purchase and acquisition price? Because as the CEO, you're wearing one hat where you want to maximize returns for shareholders. Mm-hmm. As the acquirer on the other side of the table, clearly one doesn't want to overpay. So there has been, you know, that as, if you want, a starting point. And then there's been an ongoing process to get the pricing right. Obviously, from a competition commission perspective, you know, that's been quite a long, drawn-out process. And as of now, obviously, some new challenges with the takeover regulation panel. So it hasn't been easy, but yeah, again, it seems like there's quite a big bump in the road that's going to need to be overcome.
Yep. Before we get to that bump in the road, I'm aware that there's also been several competition authorities in the markets within which Barlow World operates that have also given their approval. If I'm not mistaken, the likes of Angola, Namibia and South Africa. Mm. I'm not too sure how far we are with our local competition commission.
Yeah. It all went through, as far as I understand. You know, I think I didn't see the detailed report on what those conditions were, but typically there's going to be a list of conditions. And I think obviously, you know, in many cases, you'd have the Zahid Group coming in and they would have to address, you know, empowerment issues and the likes. But I think because they're approaching this as a consortium, strategically, it was the right call. But yeah, I think that, you know, from that perspective, I think it's all sorted. I think now it's just a pricing issue, which is, you know, obviously complicated and muddied the water.
Yes. And this is essentially that bump in the road. And I also understand this is where a ruling by the Takeover Regulation Panel also comes into play. But take us a few steps back. From what we understand, essentially the Zahid Group, together with Encha Holdings, NewCo, the consortium that would essentially buy out Barlow World, has offered 120 rand per share in the initial offer. Yeah. However, that's been adjusted. Yes. Help us contextualize how this further muddies the waters.
So I think with the original valuation at 120 rand a share, the grey, if you like, has come into play because, you know, linked to that, the shareholders or the selling shareholders were due a dividend, and that dividend was at 1.20 rand a share. So the acquirers have basically said that, look, the purchase consideration is 120 rand, of which 1.20 rand is the dividend, and the balance is what we're going to be paying for the shares. Mm. The flip side is the selling shareholder saying, no, it's actually my share is worth 120 rand, and there's a dividend on top of that to compensate for the investment over the past period. So you've now got this situation where at the 11th hour, you have got this one rand 20 a share dispute, which equates to 225 million rand.
Sure.
And one can argue relative to, you know, the billions that are being paid, it's not a big issue. But from a, you know, a selling shareholder perspective, it is an issue. And from an acquirer perspective, it's an issue because it's not an immaterial sum, but it's also more of a trust and integrity issue. Because, you know, Barloworld will have multiple shareholders, and it was hard enough to get the deal across the line without this. Now, all of a sudden, it rears its ugly head, and it's kind of back to the drawing board. And the risk always in deal making is, does it open a previous can of worms that you managed to get through? And now it rears its ugly head again. So not a great situation to be in for either party, and it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
100%. And I think this is so pertinent that we actually discuss it and flesh it out even further, right? Because as you say, 120 rand per share seems like for interim dividend seems like a small amount. But when you add it up, as you say, it gets us to 225 million rand. You mentioned transparency, trust and integrity. And I think this is important because one with that question, when a deal of this particular nature is discussed and is negotiated, that timing also plays an influence. So are we finding that perhaps this intricacy comes in as a result of the timing, on the back of the financial results, where the business now has to pay out a dividend to its shareholders as declared by the board?
I think that's a good point. I think yes. I think timing is always, you know, critical in these types of deals. And but again, I think the dividend mechanism is not anything new. So, you know, I think from a shareholder perspective, there would have been either an expectation for a dividend or it to be factored into the purchase price. I think on the other side of the coin, it's really around lack of clarity, and I must say by both parties around whether the dividend was included or not, and what the actual purchase price represented. So one always hopes that it's a case of something falling between the cracks. But it goes back to the need to make sure that every, you know, T is crossed and every I is dotted before embarking on a journey like this, because you can leave nothing up to you know, interpretation, and you can't have misalignments. And yeah, so look, who knows? I mean, maybe in time we'll get proper clarity around what really transpired and how it played out this way. But it's a big issue, and it shouldn't have been missed by either party.
This then, I'm assuming, raises a significant lesson for all of us who consider business school, right, in transactions, mergers, and acquisitions. What are the key lessons here, especially for further potential deals that might be discussed by multinationals, especially regarding the valuation of the actual deal and value per share of the business versus dividends, preference dividends, and many more implications that typically do come up?
Yeah, so I think the starting point always is assume nothing. You know, I think from that perspective, I think often there's this assumption that you're dealing with experienced transactors and financial heads and the likes, and you know, everyone's speaking the same language. So the starting point is kind of take it down, cookie onto the lowest shelf. You really got to get quite simplistic. And in fact, I was in a conversation with someone the other day, and they said always pitch it at a grade 9 or grade 10 level, which is, I think, not bad advice, because then there's no room for misinterpretation and the likes. So I think that's the key thing. The other element is, don't move forward until you've, one, identified all the issues, and secondly, you've resolved and aligned on all of the issues. Because on certain issues, whether it's on day one or day 365, it's still an issue. And often, you know, if you're going to have the tough conversations or there's contentious issues, rather deal with them up front or walk away. In a situation like this now, if you take the Barloworld situation, it's so far down the line that it's going to be very difficult to walk away. And if the parties, you know, unfortunately something happens and they do walk away, then there's significant losses reputationally and share price and all of those issues. So that's really, really critical. I think also, as much as possible, try and get it as binding as possible up front. So although you're going to go through a whole process on the critical issues, have a memorandum of understanding or whatever it may be before you get into the detailed legals to make sure that all of these issues are binding to both parties and they're clearly identified. You know, there's a great saying that says people believe what they read, not what they hear. So make sure everybody's reading the documents and aligning on those elements. So I think from that perspective, it's, you know, it's really, really critical. And yeah, you know, I think stay close to it. You know, things change, and be proactive in your communication. But like I said, in this situation, it's not like the shareholder dividend would have come out of the blue. They would have been in a closed period. There would have been insights into what the numbers are looking like, because clearly the valuation was based on that. And shareholders deserve dividends, so I think it's just unfortunately, probably, like I said earlier, something slipped between the cracks or it was missed. But, for moving forward on transactions like these, that it's really important to understand what are all the real moving parts, what's material and what isn't, what's non-negotiable and what isn't, and also bringing in the qualitative components. So you're dealing with shareholders, you're dealing with people. If it was a tough negotiation, be very careful, because it can be the straw that breaks the camel's back. And in a situation like this, it's not material to the purchase price, but it's a material amount of money. So there's all of those elements that, one needs to keep focusing and honing on and refining over time. And look, unfortunately, in deals, you bump your head as well, and that's how we all learn. But I think often, we assume that it's these big deals with experienced advisors and C-suites and the likes, and something like this happens. It's not great to see.
100%. Andrew, I'm going to steal one more minute of your time, just to figure out, should there be a stalemate? As you say, this deal could go either way, but either way, there will be significant consequences. Is there an intermediary that could potentially step in and make a final ruling on what the final figure should be?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, from a legal process perspective, based on the agreements, they'll have that type of, I suppose, arbitration clause. So I would think there is some sort of escalation process that they could follow before it falls over. And I think, like we said, hopefully it's not a bridge too far. But as far as an appeal process and the likes, go back to the ruling that's just been made, I don't know what that process, so from the Takeover Regulation Panel, I would think there would be an ability to appeal or do something there. If not there, then via the legal arbitration process to find a way, because they've got to find a way. It's gone too far for them not to. But let's see. I suppose the next couple of days and weeks will be telling.
Very interesting to watch. Andrew Bowman, Chief Executive for Corporate and Advisory at Deal Leaders International. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks very much, Kokoletto.
Fantastic.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.